The reading is from Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 23. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from the heaven or from men?" They discussed this among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For God came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him."
That's great, Mary.
Andy, just click on the PowerPointing there for me, please. I have it on. Oh, there we are. Excellent. A word of prayer. Our title and our theme is only one thing: challenging authority. You cannot get anything else out of that passage other than that. Lord, we come before you, and this is your word written. For some, Lord, this is a familiar passage that is read often, Lord, in many churches at Easter time or close to Easter, certainly during the Lenten time. And here we are, Lord, in February, looking at this. Our prayer, as always, is, Lord, that you would speak to us through it. Lord, for many people, this is a familiar text. And Lord, we have heard it down through the years, and we understand what has gone on, but we have no idea really of how it relates to us, our contemporary society as such. That is the truth. We think, yes, it was an event that happened in history. Terrible that it did, but it happened. But it bears no resemblance to what has gone on in the world today. It's a past event, so to speak. And Lord, that's truth. Yes, it is a past event. But Lord, the source of Scripture says, or the Scripture says, that all Scripture is profitable, Lord, for us. That all of it is inspired. And there's truth to be grasped even from this passage. Our prayer simply is, may we grasp some of this truth this day in new life. For those listening on at another time, you pray the very same prayer for them. By your Spirit, Lord, who is both the teacher and the author of the Scriptures, we ask his help and understanding. May you speak to us. And all God's people said, well, there we are, challenging authority. There we are. There's nothing new in society about challenging or confronting. There really isn't. It's everywhere. All you have to do is turn on your radio station tomorrow morning, preferably a news station, and you'll hear interviews that are challenging or confronting. Or if you're not into that, all you have to do is listen to what this says in the papers, and you'll hear challenge and confronting, and the boys just walk from that. So challenge and confronting is in many places, everywhere, every time. You'll meet it maybe on the loose going into work. You're about to sit in a seat and some fella jumps in before you. Say, how dare you? You're driving somewhere and some fella pulls out in front of you and saying, well, God bless the brother. That's not what you say. You know, who do you think you are? How dare you? I got that first, you know. Drive into the supermarket and some fella just pulls into the spot before you. You know what it is. There are the small, minor challenges and thus confrontation. But as a country, of course, we are challenging and confronting major issues. And there are, as they tell us out there, listening to media and all that, there are major challenges facing us. But there's also confrontation. So there's nothing new to that. The passage we have in front of us, which I've called Challenging Authority, what's unusual about this is when you're talking about religion, usually the challenge is from outside. That's what most people expect. From those who have no faith or who are completely opposed to faith. That's usually kind of the lines that are drawn. No, of course, it's not like that, but that's usually where the people think it's coming from. They never or rarely think that the challenge comes from within. You rarely hear of Jesus being challenged by pagans or even secular society. Most of the challenges and the confrontation that Jesus faced were from deeply religious people. Now it's hard to imagine anyone challenging or confronting God, but that's happened. It has happened. So no better men to challenge and confront than these lads here. A picture paints a thousand words. It tells us in verses, I'll put it up here on the screen for us, that Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. Now before we go any further, you must realize an event had happened the previous day that upset him. Two things was happening. The worst thing you can do with religious people is challenge their power and challenge their money. Jesus managed to do both the previous day. He went in and he saw all the rip-off going on with lads having to buy stuff in the temple for sacrifice and for all kinds of offerings and extortion prices. So he just went in, turned up the money tables, all money scattered everywhere. And obviously these lads, there must have been a bit of a payback going on. He scattered the money everywhere and of course there was absolute uproar. And of course the people who had been ripped off, who were fortunate enough to be there on the day, got some money back. So, you know, it was a godsend in one way. However, that was what happened the previous day, right? We're now into day two, and now he's teaching. Verse 23 tells us that it was while he was teaching that the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. Now, you need to picture this is, they didn't come and say, Jesus, when you're finished here, we'd like to have a little word with you. That's not how they came. Though these would have been considered very sophisticated and well-mannered men. The only way you can read verse 23 is they stopped him in mid-sentence. And you can see the challenge and the confrontation. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked. And who gave you this authority? No matter which way you go there, there's a challenge there. Would you agree? By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? So what they're really doing is they're challenging Jesus. In many senses, really. Oops, I'll come back to the one take with Jesus' answers. What they're actually doing is they're questioning his credentials. What right do you have to be here? You see, the problem was Jesus didn't come through this route like the chief priest and the elders of the people. He didn't have any recognized qualification to do what he was doing. But he had incredible authority. So he didn't come through the structured way and the way that was acceptable. But they recognized there was something about him. He had a boldness and he had an ability to do things that they couldn't do. And they even recognized this authority. So the question really is, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave it to you? So now we understand the question, but your situation says, who gave you the right to be here? What right do you have to be doing this? You are not part of us. You don't have a right to do this. That's where they're going with it. So they're questioning his credentials. They're also questioning his authority, but they're also asking the question, they want to know, what authority are you doing these things and who gave it to you? Because he was not looking for anything from them. Verse 24, he answers this a beautiful way. He says, Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. He is willing to answer the question. You want to know by what authority? I will tell you. On one condition. I don't think they were expecting that. But when you challenge Jesus, you always have to expect the unexpected, because he thinks differently from the rest of us. No, we know the story. By what authority and who gave it to you? He says, okay, I'll answer that question if you answer me this. The question was very simple. Verse 25, John's baptism. No, John the Baptist had been out. Another problem was he didn't come through that route either. John would have been a bit of embarrassment. He dressed weirdly and he had a very strange kind of a vegetarian diet. And he didn't operate in the synagogue or in the church, kind of out in the wilderness. And apparently he was a good man to shout. And called, you know, and he knew nothing of political correctness because it wasn't invented, but he knew absolutely nothing of religious correctness. Absolutely, he was the reverse. And people thronged to him and heard him. And his ministry now is finished, is gone. So John's baptism, people who don't baptize, he said, was it from heaven or human origin? To put it simply, right? Lads, it's either A or B. This is it. They all knew about John. They knew that he was calling people to repent and get their act together before God. And those that were repenting were being baptized. So really, he's only saying, no, the source of that is heaven or human. Now, remember, all the time they're challenging Jesus' authority. So they discussed it among themselves and say, if we see from heaven, he will ask us, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. No, you say, how relevant is that to us? Let me put up a picture here for you. It's the classic example of a catch-22, isn't it? The catch-22 is, no matter which way you go, you're caught. So that was invented a phrase long ago of fellas going looking for jobs. Said, we'll give you the job if you have the experience. The problem was they couldn't get the job because they didn't have the experience. So you were caught either way. So it is a catch-22. How do we know? Because they tell us exactly it. If we say from heaven, he will ask us, then why didn't you believe him? And of course they didn't believe him. So we can't say from heaven. But we can't say from earth either, because we're afraid of the people, for they hold that John was the prophet. Actually, the people were right. So there you are in a catch-22 situation. Now Jesus is giving you an option A or B. You don't want A, you don't want B, you can afford to be trapped, but you are trapped. It's a catch-22. Happens all the time. I have to listen to the media. They're waiting for that situation, a catch-22. It has always been there. So what do you do when you're caught in a way you didn't expect to be caught? And you're forced to take a side. And it comes, it's real life. I hadn't seen it like this before, but it, we all have to live with catch 22 situations. So these lads did what an awful lot of people do. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." So I want to give you a picture again of what is really going on there. Are you ready for this? This is profound theology. It's called sitting on the fence. That's exactly what they did. We will not go for A, we will not go for B, we're going to take a neutral position. We will sit on the fence and see how it works out. How relevant is that to our society? An awful lot of sit fencing going on. An awful lot, well, we could go this way, but if we go this way, we're caught with this group. If we go that way, we're caught this group. So what we'll do is we will remain neutral. We will not take either side. No, we can get away with that with some things. You can never get away with that with Jesus. There is no neutrality with him. I'm not too holy, but I'm not too sinful. I follow sometimes and not others. But sitting on the fence is a way. So they answered, "We don't know." That, of course, was a blatant lie. The problem was, whichever way they gave the answer, they were caught. And the last thing they wanted to do was end up in a catch-22 situation. Now they are, and now they have to sit in the fence. Because they were already sitting in the fence anyway. So, what does Jesus do with lads sitting on the fence? Well, the next verse is great. Then he said, "Neither will I tell you." Do you see that? "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." He knows exactly that they are caught. And he knows the answers they're giving is they're refusing to give an answer, so he's literally calling on it. He's doing what we call today, he's playing them at their own game. Lads, the two of us can do that. That's exactly what he's doing. John's baptism, heaven or human origin? Oh, we don't know. "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." You want to play that game? We both play that game. I'm not going to tell you either. But they're the ones confronting. They're the ones challenging. And now this thing is out in the open. But there's something that is about to change. We call it in real life turning the tables. Tables are about to be turned because they came challenging, confronting, and questioning. And they've sat in the fence, they have ducked the catch 22, and now Jesus is about to turn the tables on them. But he does it very cleverly. You see, Jesus understood human nature. And if you're going to get people's attention and they can second guess what you're going to say, they already have their fence, the defense up, or they have the answer ready. Jesus had a very clever device to manage that. It's called a parable. They would have heard it the first time, and they had to wait to the end to see what it meant. Very clever. So, verse 28, right? After this saying is, "We don't know." And he says, "Well, not what I tell you." He says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Son A. Son B. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. I know, verse 31 is where he goes back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and he's challenging them. Verse 31, okay? They do not know where this is going. He asked the question, which of those two did what his father wanted? And what's the obvious answer? Which one did it? The first one. Right? That's, so he challenges them. Well, now you see where they were sitting on the what? Fence. Now he has a parable of where they can sit in the fence. Somebody did what the father wanted, somebody didn't. The first fellow said, I won't do it, and he changed his mind and he went and did it. Second fellow says, I'll do it, and he didn't bother to do it at all. Alright? Now, he takes all of that, and then he interprets it this way. He's not going to confront them. Truly, he says, I tell you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, ahead of you. We'll stop there for a minute. The two lowest species of sinners and the dregs of society, as far as the chief priests were considered, was money, the money men, which of course was the tax collectors, and the sex industry. And the truth is, where you have money, you always have sex. That's what for the most part, that's where it goes. And it's still around today. So what Jesus is saying is, who you consider the dregs of society, and who are the lowest rung of the religious ladder, and who are beyond redemption, or beyond anything, these lads are actually coming in ahead of you. Now, what has that got to do with the parable? The parable of two sons, the first fellow went out and said, I won't do it, and he did it. The second fellow says, I will, and I won't. He now tells him in verse 32, for John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. They came asking, what authority have you got and who gave it to you? And now Jesus is saying to them, no sitting in defense here. John came, showed you the way of righteousness, and you didn't respond. Actually, he even shows them and says, after this, you did not repent and believe. That is challenging, but it's also confronting. He is confronting their unbelief. They're coming to challenge his credentials. He is now confronting their unbelief. Let me put it together for you. There's the Pharisees, teachers of the law, coming, challenging Jesus. Okay? This is in picture form. They end up in a catch-22 situation, which they hadn't anticipated. Do you believe that? Then this resulted in sitting on the fence. But Jesus refused to let him there, and what he ended up doing was turning the tables. He now was doing the challenging, he now was doing the confronting. Now, what have they achieved by challenging the authority of Jesus? People do it all the time. If I meet God, I have questions for him. Well, I have not done it myself, but I know people here who have. I would never challenge the authority of God. We negotiate and so on. But the problem with the problems, there's a difference between challenging the Lord and his methods and challenging his authority. I have never challenged the Lord's authority. He's all powerful. But maybe some of his methods, we could have a little chat here and there, have I ended up in a catch-22 a few times? I'm not too sure if I sit in the fence, because the Lord won't let you in the fence. But I have experienced the turning of tables many times. I think it's a fool. No, I don't think it's a fool. I think it's foolish to challenge the authority of Jesus. I really do. Let me see. I put it up here. I have another slide. So, what did they achieve by challenging the authority of Jesus? Two things. You must have seen it in the text. They achieved two things. Let me give them to you. Having their motives and their unbelief exposed. That is what they achieved. Because when Jesus came back with the first parable, the second parable is even horrendous. I'm not going there. He doesn't stop there, and it doesn't end well. The second parable is even worse. The first parable is on just getting going, drawing him in. And that was just a mild challenge and my confrontation. But it exposed their motives. And it exposed their unbelief. Because they simply chose to challenge. Now, how do you apply all of that? As a nation, where are we at in relation to Jesus? Collectively, as a nation. What right do you have to tell us how to live? Correct? And who has given you that right? That's what's going on. The only thing between that going on out there and what's happened with Jesus is Jesus started with the religious crowd. He always does. And with the religious crowd, this is our world, he also starts with judgment with the religious crowd. The last crowd to get anything of God are usually the lads who are further down the line. Pagan society, or non-believing society, whatever you want to call them. He always starts with those who claim to believe and don't believe. And he started and exposed false motives, or sinful motives, and their unbelief. So we live in Ireland and we are challenging the authority of Jesus. He may choose to answer. Most likely he won't. He'll let things just go as they are. And he will only show his authority when it's the right time for him to do so. But there is a challenge and there is a confronting. And the people of God will be challenged and are being confronted. And we'll be doing more so as the weeks and months go by. But there's nothing new in people challenging and in confronting Jesus. What's new in all of this is that it was his very own people who were doing it, and the religious leaders. That's what's the surprise of this passage. So, what do I learn from it? I learned that people's motives within the church and unbelief can be absolutely rampant. At times. I can learn as well too is when we challenge Jesus and we shine a light into his face, he just takes that light and shines it back. When we shine into his face, we see nothing, because nothing there of sin. We'll see glory, see all kinds of works. But when he takes that lamp that we're shining into his face and he shines his back at us and we get the reflection, then we begin to see, oh my goodness me, I'm now in a catch-22 situation. My neutrality that I wanted is gone because he has pulled it from me. I've sat in defense for so long and now he is turning the tables and saying, what are you doing with all of this? I don't know who this is for. I'm not aware of anyone challenging the authority of Jesus to the extent that the chief priests and the Pharisees did. But let me give you a few examples of where it can creep in. Just a few, right? And then I'm finished. When the known will of God is known. You know what I mean? When it's clear. The known will of God. Now, there's no doubt this is something that is written down, inspired by the scriptures, you know, validated all over all this. When that is known, and when people choose to reject it, to either ignore it, reject it, to confront it, to challenge it, what you end up doing is confronting and challenging ultimately the authority of Jesus himself. And saying, Jesus, you may have the right, but I'm not going to do it. Or most of the time what happens is, in following Jesus, what it takes all of the time is faith and obedience. If there is no faith, there will be no obedience. That's for sure. Because in order to obey, you have to be willing to believe, first of all. When we challenge Jesus, finally, often what happens is it's our motives, our unbelief, whatever the case may be, is exposed. In doing it, we're shown our cards on our table. Does that make sense? And it's our own cards we're exposing. We can expose nothing of Jesus. So I say that collectively as a country, we are challenging and confronting what we know as the plain teachings of Scripture, and we're saying we won't believe that, we want to change it. And that's challenging the authority of Jesus. And the thing is, Jesus doesn't come down and just said, how dare you challenge me? But a day will come. And we'll see his authority and say, oh my goodness me, imagine challenging that. Closing. I heard a few people laughing. I have never, for the record, challenged the authority of Jesus. I have negotiated his way around to see if we could find an alternative proposal to some of his suggestions in his will. You know that, you know, because you like to have what they call a counter proposal, you know. So sometimes he'd have me doing this, and I'd say, Jesus, I will do it that way. However, could I just modify it a bit here and do it a slightly different way? So negotiations, you know. I don't think I'm challenging his authority as such, and he has never said so far. Only maybe once or twice he'll say, you're either doing it or you're not. Well, that means the negotiations are finished at that stage and the counter proposals have been rejected. And so I'm left in really with either a yes or a no. It's an A or a B. So when it gets to that situation, then I'm willing to do that. Does that make sense? Now, some of you are much wiser than me, and you'll just do that, or you may not do that, which I guess may be, but you won't negotiate. And I believe in the power of negotiation, although I would say now, in hindsight now, it's not the hill of beans, because at the end of the day, there's no change in Jesus' mind on some matters. I can see that now. Absolutely, you know, and even my negotiation skills, such as they are, and they are good, I have to say now, is they're not good enough to where you can get Jesus to come around to your way of thinking. But ultimately, seriously, and I finish with this, is if Jesus exposed the motive of religious leaders, and in exposing the motive, he also exposed their unbelief. Do you know what they ended up doing after this meeting? They were looking for a way to kill him. It would only be a matter of days before they do. That's my point. That when people challenge and confront, and it's at that very serious level, I'm not talking about mucking around here with God or trying to figure out a way if we can do his will a handier way, you know, and less hassle. I'm not talking about that. But when people choose deliberately, Jesus doesn't back down. And when Jesus doesn't back down, then you have confrontation of a major scale. And that's what happened there. That's what I got. Who it's for, I do not know. But anyway, it is for somebody. We'll pray, we'll leave it at that. Lord, we do come before you. And our prayer, Lord, is, Lord, we do question you at times. There's no point saying we don't. And Lord, we do ask, Lord, why is this? Or why isn't you doing it this way? Or why is this much trouble happening? We ask that, our Lord, how long do we have to wait? Lord, we are not questioning your authority there. We're just trying to get a handle, Lord, on what's going on. And Lord, it is not unbelief that asks those questions. It's mostly confusion, Lord. Our heartfelt pain is that. We know that, Lord. And Lord, you're gracious with us. But Lord, that is very different from saying to you, you don't have a right to speak to me. You don't have a right to demand that your will is done in my life. Lord, that is rebellion. And Lord, that's what we see in these men. But Lord, it was rebellion because in spite of all what they said, they had no faith. So Lord, I pray this day, Lord, if at any stage we begin to challenge your authority or question it, Lord, Lord, that we need to ask ourselves what's happening with our motives and where are we at in our faith and belief. Thank you, Lord, for this. And now we could have gone further, but Lord, this is all you wanted to give us. We pray, Lord, that whatever people got, they got. And Lord, whoever it is for, may they receive it, Lord, in the spirit that is given, Lord. And all God's people said. You can, of course. I'll just turn off the tape there, so because in case you say something better than me and show me up. Yep.